The next piece is what I'll call revenue streams as we start to break this down. So within revenue, there are what I'll call transactional types of revenue, and then there are reoccurring types. So to kind of give you some perspective on that, an asset sale, like you sell a car, I literally sell a car to you at the end of the day. What you do with that car is up to you. If you want to go paint it, you want to take the seats out, you want to put a new engine in, I don't really care because it's a single transaction. I never have to deal with you ever again. It might be a brokerage fee. The single transaction, your broker, if you're selling a house, for example, may go through this whole process with you, but at the end of the day, once you buy that house, that broker gets their commission and they're done. There's no real reason to keep up a long-term relationship with you because it's very transactional based. Versus what we'll call reoccurring or more ongoing kinds of revenue streams. Now, a lot of times when we talk about transactional once, that means I get to spread my customer acquisition costs across one sale. The ideal thing is to be able to take that customer acquisition cost, get them into my camp, and then sell them other products. So that's where we get to the reoccurring piece. So one of them might be what we call usage fees. And the usage fee might be like an ATM. I don't pay an ATM fee unless I use the ATM. So every time I use it, I get a bill. But if I choose not to use it, if I use it a lot, I get a lot of ATM fees. Maybe subscription fees. Now, that's based on usage, so the more I use it, the more I pay. But a subscription fee is slightly different in the fact that I get to, it's all-you-can-eat plan, and I pay, let's say, Netflix. I pay them their $9 a month or whatever it costs, and I get to watch as many movies or as little movies as I want to because I buy that subscription. So I get an all-you-can-eat plan. And so sometimes we have combining that whole piece between single transactions and recurring, and we'll call both. So lending, renting, or leasing, all right, they're all slightly different, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But like car rental is a good experience. So during the time that you rent that car, you have exclusive use of that particular vehicle. Nobody else can drive that car but you. But at the end of that term, you return it, and you no longer have use of that. So you're just getting temporary use of that. Licensing is another avenue with respect to revenue, right? So I may have a patent on a product, but I'm not in the business to manufacture that. So I may say, I will license the idea that I have to your company. Every time you build one, or you sell one, I should say, you essentially send me a royalty on that sale. Advertising may be another one. We see a lot of free apps out there. And what do free apps have usually? Banner ads, right? So you get the product for free, but somebody else, third party, ultimately pays you as the owner of that. Television, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox type of thing, that non-cable things are essentially driven by that particular model. Those programming is absolutely free to you. You can pick them up off the airwaves. You don't have to pay a cable provider. But at the end of the day, how do they pay for their programming? Through third-party advertisement. So when I like to think about another level here within revenue streams is what we'll call fixed pricing as opposed to dynamic pricing. So let's talk a little bit about that. So a list price. When you go to a restaurant, they have the price next to the item. Such if you go to real hoity-toity places and they don't have the prices on them at all. But quite frankly, in most places you go to McDonald's or whatever, the price is listed next to the item that you're purchasing. There's no negotiation there. It's just a list price. That's what you pay. There's no opportunity to go change that. Maybe it's product or feature dependent. So when I think about that is I'm a major carnivore. And so if you can go in and buy meat, you can get different cuts of meat, but you can also get different grading systems within those. There's select, there's prime, those types of things. So they're grading it, and depending on that grade, you may pay a premium for that. Another example, when you're on a cruise ship, you have staterooms, right? Everybody's going to put their head on a pillow at night at some point, but you might have a stateroom that costs a lot more than something else. So you're literally grading it within that particular product piece. Customer segmentation is another version of still fixed pricing revenue streams. And so if I think about that, how many times you go to a restaurant and you see we have a senior discount or we have a veterans discount. So literally I'm taking the mass audience out there, and I'm saying, for one particular class, I'm going to offer a different set of fixed prices for that, for those individuals. And then we have volume-dependent types of fixed prices. So has anybody ever bought business cards on Vistaprint? So you buy 100, it costs you nearly as much as buying 500. There's probably $2, $3 difference in the total price, because they are literally trying to drive you to that 500 purchase. Because, I mean, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't really have a need for any more than 100, but how could I pass up this opportunity to get 400 more for literally, you know, 20% additional price? So that's just, we become predictably irrational, as Dan Ariely calls it, because we can't help ourselves. Upsize that? Sure. All right, so within that, that's the fixed pricing. But we also have what I'll call dynamic pricing, where the prices change every day. And it depends on various features. So, you know, the revenue stream for your product. If you purchase an automobile, there's a sticker price, but I don't know too many people pay the sticker price. All right, now maybe your value proposition is you buy it based upon the price, we don't negotiate. But for the most part, when you buy a vehicle, there's a sticker price on it, and then depending on how you negotiate with that salesperson or how knowledgeable you are about your particular product, you're going to pay something less than that. Maybe a lot less, maybe just a little less, depending on how good a negotiator you are. But again, it's a negotiated pricing. Maybe it's yield management. And so yield management, it's kind of like airline tickets. And you know, if anybody's bought airline tickets, which I'm sure everybody has, quite frankly, I don't think any two people spend the same price for an airline ticket, because it depends on what time of the day you're going to go, and these are being dynamically produced. So if there's something that's occurred that people want to go to, maybe Colorado Springs, because they want to come out here for the Pikes Peak Hill Climb this weekend, maybe the price of the tickets just went up because there's more people coming in, and the airline says, whoa, wait a minute, I got this curve that says I should be selling so many tickets by this date, and I'm way ahead of that. I need to increase my prices to get more yield out of that. Versus the same type of thing saying, I had predicted that I would sell more tickets and I haven't yet. If the plane's going to go with or without me, I'm going to go start selling tickets because I'd rather sell a $100 ticket, because that's $100 that I got a fixed price and the cost it's going to take me to get there. I'd rather get that extra $100, and so I might reduce that. So every day those prices are changing, and we have, you know, Bing and those types of websites that have prediction models that are trying to look at how many seats they've sold and kind of telling you, hey, hold on, or buy now, because prices are going to go up because we start seeing certain trends. Real-time market, dynamic pricing, stock prices, commodity prices. I mean, things that happen externally in the world change the price of oil, being an oil and gas guy. I'm not the happiest oil and gas investor right now, to be quite honest with you, because unless a war breaks out in the Middle East, I'm sure the prices of oil will skyrocket, and Steve will start making some money on some of his investments there. But in the meantime, we can't do that. Stock prices going up and down based upon news that happens, right, what people are willing to pay. And then, of course, another version, which we're all very familiar with, is the auction price. So guess what? Those pants that I couldn't sell, I couldn't return back there, are now on eBay, going out there in an auction kind of a thing. So I'm going to get some of my money back, but maybe not all of it. But we'll see what those pants ultimately go. So those are typically the revenue streams. Now, we've kind of reached a point at this piece here where I like to think about maybe now is the time for another test. Because these, to me, of the 9 blocks, is really pivotal. When we go to the next part of the 9 blocks, they become a little bit more process-oriented. But at this point, maybe it's a time to literally go out there and begin to launch a product to see how this goes, because we, you know, things might change.